Well, some of you, meaning if you were ladies, you got to sit under Pastor Kim last Wednesday. We did our breakout sessions, so the girls stayed in here, and the guys got to go wherever they magically go every week or on our breakout sessions. But Pastor Kim taught on right and wrong thinking and the importance of renewing your mind and not allowing your mind to be unguarded. And it was really good. I wish we would have recorded it because many times, I'm like right under the speaker, sorry, I'm trying to move out from under them. Many times this week, I really wanted to go back and listen to them because she just had so much wisdom that came out of her. And I was trying to write as fast as I could, and she always talks faster than I can write. So there's that. But anyways, so the thing that she was talking about is that, you know, a lot of times we get talking about how our words have power, and they absolutely do. They have power of death and life and the power of your tongue, right? So do your thoughts. And so we need to be careful with our thoughts, because what our thoughts do is they plant seeds into what our words are going to become. And so our thoughts, maybe we don't talk about them as much as we talk about the power of our words, but your thoughts are so very powerful, because that's where everything begins, is in your thoughts. So I love what Kenneth Copeland says. He says, your thoughts have power. Thoughts in line with the word of God will protect you, spirit, soul, and body. Negative thoughts will cost you dearly in those same areas. And that's just such a powerful thought about your thoughts don't just affect your mind. They don't stop at your mind. They go to your spirit, your soul, and your body. There's not a stopping point of, oh, they're just going to stop here. That's just where they landed today. No, they affect everything else we do. And years ago, I think Melanie was probably around back then, but we did a study with Dr. Caroline Leaf and the power of negative thinking. And she talks about, she has tons of research. I believe she's a neurosurgeon, right? I think she's either a neurosurgeon or a neurosurgeon. Yeah, something with brains. And she's this Christian woman. She's very, very intelligent. She's done a ton of research about the effects of thoughts on the brain. And in this study that we went through, she actually showed slides of human brains, that one that what healthy looked like, and it was all pink and squishy like we normally kind of see, you know, and then one that had been from a patient that lived in a constant negative outlook. And in this negative outlook, this person was full of negativity. That's all they ever thought about. And the brain from that person actually had all these like cracks and crevices and dark spots through this entire brain. And she was saying in this research that meditating on the negativity all the time actually creates these craters and crevices in your brain, and stuff doesn't flow right anymore. And so now all of a sudden things that should be going like this are getting stuck down here like this, and it actually starts to create disease in your brain. And so it's really very interesting. If you have time to look up stuff about Dr. Caroline Leaf and all of her research, it's really very interesting how something that doesn't seem tangible has such a physical effect on our well-being, on our mental state. And of course, you know, anytime you're messing with the brain, if you damage your brain, it's gonna cause some problems. So toxic or negative thoughts take you from the blessing of God over into the curses. And it's our job to renew our mind and allow the Holy Spirit to heal and to lead us. So, you know, in Deuteronomy, when they're talking about the blessings of God and the curses of not following after God, we get to those blessings, of course, through Jesus, but we have to keep ourselves there. Jesus provided it for it. It's here. It's a free gift. But we do have a part to play. We don't just get to live there, la, 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 I don't have to do anything. There's a part for us to play. And so sometimes, because if everything that we do starts with a thought, so our thought becomes what we're thinking about, then it becomes what we're saying, and then it becomes an action, and then it becomes whatever it becomes. So if everything starts in a thought, then of course our thought life has a huge part to play in whether or not we're living in the full blessing of God, or if we're walking out from under the blessings of God. Romans 8:6 through 9 in the Amplified says, "Now the mind of the flesh, which is sense and reason without the Holy Spirit, is death. Death that compromises all the miseries arising from sin, both here and hereafter. But the mind of the Holy Spirit is life and soul peace, both now and forever. That is because the mind of the flesh, with its carnal thoughts and purposes, is hostile to God, for it does not submit itself to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. So then those who are living the life of the flesh, catering to the appetites and impulses of their carnal nature, cannot please or satisfy God or be acceptable to him. But you are not living the life of the flesh. You are living the life of the Spirit. If the Holy Spirit of God really dwells within you, if he directs and controls you, but if anyone does not possess the Holy Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. He does not belong to Christ. It is not a true a child of God." And the passion in that same verse, I just like the passion to correlate sometimes. When I study from a lot of different versions and I kind of compare them all together. So you definitely look these up in your favorite version that you read from every day. But the passion of the same verse is Romans 8:6 through 9 says, "For the sense and reason of the flesh is death, but the mindset controlled by the Spirit finds life and peace. In fact, the mindset focused on the flesh fights God's plan and refuses to submit to his direction because it cannot. For no matter how hard they try, God finds no pleasure with those who are controlled by the flesh. But when the Spirit of Christ empowers your life, you are not dominated by the flesh, but by the Spirit. And if you are not joined to the Spirit of the Anointed One, you are not of him." So we have this eternal war going on between flesh and spirit. And we can't operate out of them both. You pick one or the other. That's why the verse that says, choose this day who you're going to serve, because you can't serve both. You can't walk in your flesh and expect the things of the Spirit, and you can't be in the Spirit and then decide you're gonna, you know, just also walk in the flesh. They shut each other off. They're like these disconnecting things. It's kind of like faith and fear. You can't have faith if you're in fear, and you can't have fear if you're in faith, because they cancel each other out. Well, it's the same way with our flesh and our spirit. You choose. So when you're thinking, we're either choosing, okay, we're going to have these fleshy thoughts, these worldly thoughts, or we're going to have the thoughts of the Spirit. The thoughts of the Spirit only thinks good things, right? God is love. That's all he does. He thinks the best of people. He wants the best for people. So if we're not thinking the best of people, or we're not wanting the best for people, guess what? We're also not walking in the way of the Spirit. We're walking after the way of the flesh. So that's our choice every day. If the mindset set on the flesh fights God and his plan for our lives, so what are some fleshy thoughts? Well, worry, jealousy, anger, greed, lust, fear, self-hatred, things that we don't necessarily maybe think are, oh, these are super bad thoughts, but even just little things like worry is, because we're not putting our full faith and trust in God. In our list, worry seems to be the small guy. And how many can admit that they worry? I absolutely will admit it. I had a situation with one of the kids a while back, and my mom worry kicked in a big time. And I could hear in his voice that something was just really off, wasn't acting himself, wasn't talking like himself. He doesn't believe that morose is a word, but he was being morose. He tells me it's not a word. Actually, all three of my boys say that that's not a word. But my worried in this situation for my child became my constant thought pattern. Like, I was completely wrapped up and consumed in it. And Daniel kept saying, "Are you really still talking?" And I'm like, "Yes, I really am still talking to him." But my constant thinking about it then turned into not sleeping. And then my not sleeping turned into being exhausted. And then my not sleeping and being exhausted turned into being emotional. I can admit that. And before I knew it, I had spent 3 days in this hole of negative thoughts and worry and just, oh my goodness, every second. And then I was like, what am I doing? And so it's easy to do. And the devil loves that. He loves that it's so easy for us, especially as parents or as friends or any kind of those deep relationships, close relationships. He loves when he can bring in this little scenario that might rock some boats. Because if he can get you, like I said, I lost 3 days to this situation. I slept literally like 3 hours. My watch was like, you have an abnormal sleep pattern. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. I do. But you do. You lose time. And what does the devil come to do? He comes to steal, kill, and destroy, right? So what did he do? Well, he definitely killed my sleep pattern. My watch now tells me that it's dead. My sleep pattern is gone. And I've lost all this time that I could have been standing in faith, or all this time that I could have been speaking words of life. Not that I wasn't, because I was. Obviously, I was giving the word, but I wasn't giving the word in a, we're done. This is it. That's it. I already told you we're good. It was more of like, I'm still worried about it. I'm still trying to, are you still okay? Are you okay now? Are you okay now? You know, that kind of a thing. And that's not where we're supposed to be. That's not how we're supposed to operate. That's operating out of the flesh. That's leaning on my own understanding. My understanding was my kid was hurt and I was going to try to fix it. I can't fix it. He's got to fix it. God's got to fix it. I can't do that. But in those moments, we do. We kind of get carried away in that thought process. And before we know it, it's affected everything and everyone around us. Worrying and being anxious. Worry is a fear-based emotion. Fear cancels faith. Those who live by faith please God. So if you're not in faith because you're in fear-based worry or anxiety, then you can't please God in those moments. That you just, it shuts off that valve. It's like right now one of our spigots is broken and I have to go down into the water and turn that little stupid valve down, and there's always a toad down there. It makes me so irritated every time I have to do this. But like, you turn that valve and the water does not come out. It doesn't matter if it was leaking or the hose was leaking. It does not matter. That valve shuts that right off. Well, fear and worry and anxiety, that's exactly what it does to our faith. It shuts that valve to faith right off. And it all starts here. It all starts here. And it's so, like I said, this is so easy for us to not even realize that we've gotten over into that spot. It's not like we're like, oh, what am I going to do today? Oh, I'm going to freak out. We don't start that way. We start by thinking little things. And before we know it, it's snowballed into a big thing. So Matthew 6:25, this is also the Amplified. Therefore, I tell you, stop being perpetually uneasy, anxious, and worried about your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, or about your body, what you should put on. Is not life greater in quality than food, and the body far above and more excellent than clothing? He's saying you're perpetual. This isn't like a little thing. This isn't a, oh, I forgot and I accidentally thought about it one day. This is saying you are perpetually doing this. So we have to be very careful. We have to be, what's Pastor Kim's word? We have to be very intentional with our thoughts, because otherwise we get into these patterns very easily. Philippians 4:6-7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. Sometimes we get into these thoughts, and how many times do you feel like being thankful in the middle of it, or like having a Thanksgiving worship session with God, or just starting to say praise God, hallelujah? Like, that's a really hard place for us to get, but that's the answer. Once we get there, we're saying, okay, God, you're bigger, you're better, you've got more plans for us, you are above whatever this situation is, you can take care of my kid way better than I can, you love him more than I do, so I'm just going to give it to you, so praise God, I thank you that you're working on his behalf. That's the place that we have to get to, instead of saying, oh God, what are we going to do about this? Can you fix him? Like, that's, you know that we can pray fear prayers? Did you know that fear prayers don't bring answer? Because they're not prayers of faith. If God works by faith and we're praying in fear, we will never get the answers we're looking for, because we are out of line, not God. God's there. He's ready. He's like, come on, you guys, get it together. Give me some faith that I can work with. And yet sometimes we're praying out of that place of fear, and we got to get to that place of faith. So meditating is thinking on something repeatedly. And Pastor Stephen always says, your choice of meditation is your choice of worship. So that takes it to a whole nother level. We've gone from, I'm thinking about it and I'm worried about it, to you're worshiping this thing. I can admit I've redeemed from that, but I might have done this a couple weeks ago where that's all I did. That's all I thought about. I had the answer in front of me, and I was even, like I said, I was even telling him what the answer is. What's God say about this? What's God say about you? What's God say about, and yet I was still in that place of saying it almost out of like a fear situation. So then that's back to the faith and fear. But if you're, what you're choosing to meditate, whether it's God, whether it's fear, whether it's whatever it is, that's what you're choosing to worship. The only way to reverse a wrong meditation is by renewing your mind in the Word and in the presence of God. Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Worry is a broad emotion. You can worry about your kids, your finances, your jobs, what your hair looks like, what your jeans make you look like. You can worry about all kinds of things, but we're instructed to not worry, to set our minds on things above, and to go into the presence of God with thanksgiving and praise, because there in His presence is where troubles vanish and peace overflows. There's an old song Daniel's mom used to sing, and it's, in the presence of Jehovah, God Almighty, Prince of Peace, troubles vanish, hearts are mended in the presence of the King. But it's super easy, but it's that thought that in that time, in that presence, everything else melts away. You're not worshiping your bills. You're not worshiping your job. You're not worshiping your spouse. You have your mind fully set on the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the answer, the Alpha, the Omega. And now all of a sudden, things don't seem so big in that time. And that's why we're supposed to live there. That's why we're supposed to remain in the secret place, because in the midst of Him, these things vanish and things are mended and things are moving in the Spirit when we can hook up to that. Philippians 4:8-9 says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. He's telling us, look at the good things. How many of you can look around and see there's some yucky things? I can. Absolutely. But we're also not supposed to look towards those things. We're supposed to look for whatever's good and true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent. Those are the things that we're supposed to look towards. You know, when Jesus was on the cross, it says that He looked away from the shame, right? Which means He had the opportunity to look at the bad, but He looked away from it to the joy set before Him, which was us, right? So we have a choice on what we look at. We have a choice on what we meditate on. We have a choice as to what thoughts we let take up time in our head. And we need to be intentional about the real estate that we're allowing to be rented out in our head. So what got me started on all this, Pastor Kim brought up the word ruminating in her teaching last week. And it kind of perked my interest because I had not really remembered it being used in a context like that. You guys got to remember, I'm a farm girl. We're rednecks. We don't talk of such things. But I do know the word rumen, and I know the word ruminating. And so for her to say it, it kind of really piqued my interest. But ruminating is the mental process of repeatedly thinking about something negative, which can negatively impact your mood and make it difficult to focus on other things. It can involve replaying negative thoughts about your past, your present, or even your future. And it can include self-blame, hopelessness, low self-esteem, offense, insecurity, worry, anxiety, all those things we don't want to be in. So it's that mental process of repeatedly thinking on the same thing, ruminating. So ruminating on the wrong thoughts creates negative mindsets. Well, so in my world, I say I'm a caprine engineer, which is really the pretty way to say I'm a goat rancher, because people, you know, that doesn't sound as nice. So in my world, the rumen is something I know. And basically, so your ruminants, like goats, sheep, cattle, deer, they have one stomach, but four parts. And as they eat their food, they chew and they swallow and they do all the things. Well, then it goes down into the first part and it kind of gets in there and it starts to be broken down, but it can't be broken down properly. So all of a sudden they re-burp and they gurgitate their food back up, and then you'll see their cheeks get all fat like little squirrels, and then they're re-chewing the stuff they already chewed and swallowed, and it's disgusting. It's gross. It smells. But now it's in their mouth again, and they're chewing on it again, and they're adding more saliva to it. And the more they chew, and the more slobbery it gets, and then they swallow it again. And then it goes through the whole process over and over and over again. And the whole point of it is, as this process is happening, things are being secreted in, and things are being absorbed nutrient-wise. So as it goes through all the stages, that's how they absorb the nutrients, and then, you know, it's finally processed and digested and all the things. So the more they chew, the more they add saliva to it, and the more things are processed. So this is kind of a long process. It's actually 40% of a ruminant's day is spent burping up their food. How many of you are glad you are not ruminants? Because I kind of am. But while rumination is vital for a ruminant to process the food and to get the nutrients extracted from their feed that their body needs to survive, rumination also happens in people. So when a person is ruminating, they are taking that negative thought inside of themselves and they're chewing on it before they swallow. Then they regurgitate it back up and they start thinking about it all over again. And now we're adding more depth and more substance, like the goats add their little saliva into it. But the whole time they're drawing things from it. So as we're regurgitating what happened, or regurgitating what people said, or regurgitating the thought, or whatever we're regurgitating in our mind every day, we're pulling sustenance from those thoughts. And now it's feeding something within us. It's feeding and nourishing something. So then we swallow it back down, and this process can happen over and over and over again. It happens to us all the time. But every time we bring that negative thought back up, it grows. It doesn't stay the same size because we keep adding stuff to it. So now, how many of you have, so texting is the worst. Like, and I text all the time, so I'm not negating this. I'm just saying texting is the worst because you can't hear somebody's tone behind it. You can't hear their heart behind it. You can't see the way they said it. And for heaven's sakes, autocorrect needs Jesus. So let's just start with that. But how many times have you received a text and you're like, well, gosh, that was kind of rude. And now you're thinking, why are they being so rude to me? What did I do? Oh my goodness, I must have done this. And now all of a sudden I'm feeling bad because I did this horrible thing to them. And then, like, you know, 15, 20 minutes, hour later, however long, they write back and go, oh, laugh aloud, that's not what I meant to say. But you've spent this entire thing. And the more you think about it, the more it grew. And before you know it, you're this horrible person that nobody wants to be friends with. And you should just go live in a hut by yourself in the middle of nowhere. And it was all because of you let the thought keep getting regurgitated in your mind. And as you did, it got bigger and it got more nutrients. And the more nutrients it had, the more it grew. And the more it grew, all of a sudden you have this big giant thing out of something that really was an accident. And it didn't mean anything, but you've worked yourself up into a tizzy. Okay, so maybe I'm the only one that does this because you're looking at me like, okay. So I can say I have done this. So a goat that has a rumen that's off balance is a goat that's fighting for its life. It's one that can bloat from the extra gases that's being produced, and if not corrected, it leads to death. So this whole rumination process adds in breath and gas. And now they have all this breath and gas, and they have this big old sides, and they can't move, and they have so much air and gas that they've breathed into this situation that it compresses their lungs. And now they could die. So, but we can do the same exact thing. We can breathe life into this situation, into this thought process that we have, and we've breathed a situation and we've totally made it this big thing in our mind, and now all of a sudden it's compressing our lungs and we can't breathe. How many people have ever had a panic attack? You feel like you can't breathe. You feel like you're having a heart attack. I have not actually had a panic attack, but I had really bad heartburn years and years ago, and I thought I was having a heart attack because I just couldn't breathe. Like, everything was tight and I couldn't breathe. Well, that's what happens when we breathe life into these negative situations, into these negative thoughts. We're compressing and suppressing the Spirit of God within us. We're suppressing the life that flows from the throne of heaven. And now all that's left is the fleshy, junky stuff. The flesh doesn't live without our spirit. If your spirit leaves your body is not alive, right? Now, my spirit can live without my body, so that'll live, but your body doesn't. So if you've worked yourself into this fleshy position, there's no life flow there. It's all derogatory. It's all negative. And before you know it, you're big and bloated with gas, and you're fighting to stay alive because we have allowed these negative thoughts to just ruminate and grow and expand and get out of control. So how do we combat these things? How do we say, okay, I get some things, obviously there's a lot of things that warrant our attention. Our kids warrant our attention. Our bills warrant our attention. Our employer warrants our attention. It's true. We do. We have to attend to a lot of things. But we don't attend to those things by the flesh. We don't attend to those things by working ourselves up and being just to the point where you can't handle anything else. We address those points from a place of prayer, from a place of thanksgiving, from a place of the presence of the Spirit of God. When we're activated in that Spirit, all the things flow, right? All the things that flow from the Spirit is good. Their life and health and healing and peace and joy. So those are the areas that we have to operate from to keep our spirit man going. We can't have one and expect the other one to work. So Colossians 3:2 says, so set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth. That's easy, right? It's pretty. It's like a one little tiny sentence. Set your minds on things above. And it's really hard to do sometimes. Sometimes our natural things seem so overwhelming, so real. And Pastor Kim and Pastor Steve always said, there's real and then there's truth. The real is, okay, you might be facing a situation in your finances. The real is you might be dealing with a diagnosis. But the truth is God is working in the midst. And He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. Money is not a problem to God. I don't know if any of you know this, but money is not a problem to God. So, and then on this side, the real of whatever diagnosis it is, it says we're healed, right? By the blood of Jesus, by the word of our testimony, the blood of the Lamb. So we have reality that we do have to face, but we face that reality with truth. And the truth says, I'm healed. The truth says I have more than enough. The truth says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Another aspect of this is being in a place where negativity doesn't abound. So we are influenced by what we're around. Before we moved to Texas, I would have never considered using the word y'all. Daniel still doesn't. Not that I know of. But my kids, Ryan especially, you would not know that kid was not born in Texas. He says words that I'm like, is there a vowel in there? Like, but he's around it. He grew up in Texas. So guess what? He says y'all and fixin' to and, oh, what's what he says right now? It's really funny and I can't think of it. But how did he get that? Did we teach him that? No, but that's what he was around. He was around those words. He was around hearing people that say those things. I can't think of what it says, but it's something like, oh, biscuits and gravy or something weird. I can't remember what it is, but it's so funny. He didn't learn that from me, just so we all know. But he did learn it because he was around it. So who you're around is another huge part of this equation, because you can't choose to be with the negative people that are only speaking death things and they're only speaking fear and they're only speaking dishonor and expect to live a life of honor or expect to live a life of faith, because you can't. Bad company corrupts good morals, which means if you're in bad company, you need to be very careful and you need to get out of that situation. Some things are caught. And some of those things that are caught are dishonor and worry and fear and things like this, because they have a spirit behind them. They're not just an emotion. They're not an emotion. It's a spirit that's behind those things. So we have to be very careful who are around. When you renew your mind to the fact that your thoughts matter, you will begin to detox your brain and switch over from fear or worry or anger to power, love, and a sound mind. We need to be intentional about paying attention to every single thought that comes into your mind. Keep the good, take the bad captive, and keep your mind fixed on God. 2 Corinthians 10:5, this is the Passion Translation, and it says, we can demolish every deceptive fantasy that opposes God and break through every arrogant attitude that is raised up in defiance of the true knowledge of God. We capture like prisoners of war every thought and insist that it bow in obedience to the Anointed One. I love that translation because it says we capture like prisoners of war. That means there's a war going on, and that war starts up here. And so if we can capture those thoughts, the ones that are coming against you, and it may seem just like a little seed, like I said, the thing that happened with my kid just seemed like a little thing. And then before I know it, 3 days had gone by. It seems like a little thing. But we have to take those things captive, and we have to get in the Word, and we have to get in the presence of God and exchange all those other feelings for the feelings of God, for what he wants us to do, how he wants us to come about things. And that's in the place where that obedience to him enables us to have that peace that we need. Proverbs 16, 23 through 24 is, the mind of the wise, this is the Amplified, sorry, the mind of the wise instructs his mouth. How many times do we say something and then think about it afterwards? I'm sure I've never done that, but if I had, that'd be a bummer. Sometimes our mouth goes before we think about it. And then I'm like, oh, I didn't mean to say it like that, or that's not how I meant it to come out, but I had said it before I had thought about it. And this in Proverbs is saying the mind of the wise instructs his mouth. That means we're drawing from the wisdom of God. We're drawing from the presence of God. The things that we've been meditating on are the things that are pure and lovely and beautiful, not yucky and crabby and crouchy. Like, we don't want to focus on those things, because when we open our mouth, guess what comes out? Crabby and crouchy. It's not fun. So if we're living in the presence of God and we're thinking on things above and we're setting our thoughts and minds to him and what his plans are for our life and what our plans are for our children and what his plans are for this church, then when we open our mouth, that's what comes out. I will never forget when my kids were little, we stopped listening to country music, because when your kid's like 3 years old and singing about, you know, a hoe, you're like, ooh, okay, cool. So we are done listening to that. But they do. They had stored it up. They'd heard it. And now all of a sudden out of their little three-year-old mouth comes these things. And I'm like, ooh, that doesn't sound right. We're going to stop that right now. But again, that's back to that environment where they heard it. They caught it. They learned it. And now, because that's what's stored up, that's what comes out. So it's the same way with us. We're not any different than our children. We are very susceptible to learning and catching things that we need to not be saying or not be thinking or not be doing. Yeah, we'll just leave it there. Okay, so the mind of the wise instructs his mouth and adds learning and persuasiveness to his lips. pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the mind and healing to the body. So if sweet words are, or if pleasant words are sweet to the mind and healing to the body, then the reverse of that means unpleasant words are sickness to the body. Right? If we're talking in opposites, faith and fear, well, this is pleasant words are healing, which means unpleasant words are sickness and disease. And a lot of times it's easy to not think of the laws of the Spirit, but just because we're not thinking about them doesn't mean they're not there. It doesn't mean that they're not active, and it doesn't mean that it's not going to produce. Every word, every thought we have produces something. Every thought produces something because it's going to produce words. It's going to produce an action. Same thing with our words. It's going to make death or life. So what we choose to think on is what we're going to say. What we're going to say is going to become our actions. What our actions become what your life is. So what we're thinking on, really, you frame your life with your words. And again, we had given this analogy one day after worship. You know, Daniel and I have very different expectations out of the goat shows. I'm super excited and I'm ready to do all the things and I can't wait to hang out with my friends and I can't wait to do all the things I'm gonna do. And he's like, are we done yet? This is stupid. And so our expectation also comes from those things. When you're saying, well, this is gonna be stupid, but then by the time you get there, you've already convinced yourself it's stupid. So there really is no place for you to go because you've already convinced yourself what it's gonna be. So on the flip side of that, if we can convince ourselves to what it's gonna be that lines up with the word of God, by the time we get to that situation, then we're like, nope, I've already been here in the Spirit. I already said God's gonna supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. Do you know the Bible does not say God's gonna supply all your needs according to Emma's riches and her glory? It does not. And it doesn't say he's going to supply it according to your riches and glory. It says he supplies according to his riches and glory found in Christ Jesus, which means we don't have that pressure of it coming from us. So when we're meditating on these things, we're not looking to answer it ourselves. We're looking to him to answer it. And then that's what we start to think on. And we start to think, okay, he's going to supply it. I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't have to know. I just have to have the faith that he's going to do it because he said he is. And if he said he's going to do it, he's going to do it. And if he said he's going to do it, it's already done because Jesus already paid the price for it. So we just have to get our thoughts and our minds and our emotions and our words and our actions all in line. And that's what forms our expectations. And now when you go to the goat show, you're like, yay, we're going to a goat show. Instead of Daniel being like, yay, we're going to a goat show. But anyways, well, I hope this really helped you. It really has spurned some things inside of me this week, not just because, you know, I had pulled the mommy worry, but just the repetition of things that come at us every day can be damaging. And it's really easy for us to think it's not a big deal. It's really easy for us to be in a situation where the negative outweighs the positive. And now all of a sudden you're coming home and you're upset every day and you're, well, if you're a girl or maybe it's just me, you know, you're upset and you're crying and you're frustrated. I can't even tell you, like the first week, I obviously have a new job. And the first week I was there, I realized at the end of the week that I hadn't left crying one day. And then I was like, oh, that's bad. That's bad. If that's the realization that I had, things were bad. But you get kind of in that cycle where it's not so bad because it seems okay because you're kind of used to it. And that's not really healthy either because now you've let that environment, like we were talking about, form what is okay or not okay in your mind. But that's not okay. God doesn't want us to live in those kinds of things. So, we need to be intentional, as Pastor Kim's word still, be intentional with taking those thoughts captive, with making sure that what we're thinking about, what we're meditating on, is this what God would have me look at? Is this how God would have me answer this situation? Is this what God has for me today, right now, because you know what? There's a plan for every day. If you'll wake up and say, okay, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do today? Tell me what to do. Where should I go? Tell me who to talk to. But if we're so caught up in the other things, we can easily miss out on what that plan was for that day. So this is why it is so important for us to say, okay, God, you lead, I'll follow. Whatever it is, wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do, whatever you want me to say, I'll follow you. And then we keep our mindset on him, and that's how we're able to do that throughout our day. Because otherwise, I don't know about you guys' days, but I get distracted. I can get distracted, absolutely. So we stop at the distraction and be like, okay, God, show me what the next step is. Show me what my next step is. Show me what my next step is. And that's what helps us keep that meditation on him and not down here.